Next, we have an LOS asking us to describe key aspects of the Converged Accounting Standards for Revenue Recognition issued by the International Accounting Standards Board and Financial Accounting Standards Board in May 2014. In May 2014, IASB and FASB issued Converged Standards for Revenue Recognition that are currently scheduled to go into effect for periods beginning after December 15, 2017 for U.S. GAAP reporting firms and after January 1, 2018 for IFRS reporting firms. IFRS firms may adopt these new standards early. U.S. GAAP firms may adopt them for periods beginning after December 15, 2016. The new standards take a principle-based approach to revenue recognition issues. The central principle is that a firm should recognize revenue when it has transferred a good or service to a customer. This is consistent with the familiar accrual accounting principle that revenue should be recognized when earned. The Converged Standards identify a five-step process for recognizing revenue. Step 1. Identify the contracts with a customer. Step 2. Identify the performance obligations in the contract. Step 3. Determine the transaction price. Step 4. Allocate the transaction price to the performance obligations in the contract. Step 5. Recognize revenue when or as the entity satisfies a performance obligation. The new standard defines a contract as an agreement between two or more parties that specifies their obligations and rights. Collectability must be probable for a contract to exist, but probable is defined differently under IFRS and U.S. GAAP. So an identical activity could still be accounted for differently by IFRS and U.S. GAAP reporting firms. A performance obligation is a promise to deliver a distinct good or service. A distinct good or service is one that meets the following criteria. The customer can benefit from the good or service on its own or combined with other resources that are readily available, and the promise to transfer the good or service can be identified separately from any other promises. A transaction price is the amount a firm expects to receive from a customer in exchange for transferring a good or service to the customer. A transaction price is usually a fixed amount, but can also be variable, for example, if it includes a bonus for early delivery. A firm can only include a variable part in a transaction price if the firm is almost certain they will not have to reverse it. For long-term contracts, revenue is recognized based on a firm's progress toward completing a performance obligation. This treatment is consistent with the percentage of completion method currently in use, although the new standards do not call it that. Required disclosures under the Converged Standards include contracts with customers by category, assets and liabilities related to contracts, including balances and changes, outstanding performance obligations and the transaction prices allocated to them, management judgments used to determine the amount and timing of revenue recognition, including any changes to those judgments. For many transactions, revenue recognition under the Converged Standards will be little changed. Industries that are expected to be affected most are those that often sell bundles of goods and services, such as the software and telecommunications industries. The next LOS is to describe general principles of expense recognition, specific expense recognition applications, and implications of expense recognition choices for financial analysis. Expenses are subtracted from revenue to calculate net income. According to the IASB, expenses are decreases in economic benefits during the accounting period in the form of outflows or depletions of assets or incurrence of liabilities that result in decreases in equity, other than those relating to distributions to equity participants. If the financial statements were prepared on a cash basis, neither revenue recognition nor expense recognition would be an issue. The firm would simply recognize cash received as revenue and cash payments as expense. Under the accrual method of accounting, expense recognition is based on the matching principle, whereby expenses to generate revenue are recognized in the same period as the revenue. Inventory provides a good example. Assume inventory is purchased during the fourth quarter of 1 year and sold during the first quarter of the following year. Using the matching principle, both the revenue and the expense, cost of goods sold, are recognized in the first quarter when the inventory is sold, not in the period in which the inventory was purchased. Not all expenses can be directly tied to revenue generation. These costs are known as period costs. Period costs, such as administrative costs, are expensed in the period incurred. The first specific expense recognition application we will look at involves inventories. If a firm can identify exactly which items were sold and which items remain in inventory, it can use the specific identification method. For example, an auto dealer records each vehicle sold or in inventory by its identification number. Under the first-in, first-out, or FIFO method, the first item purchased is assumed to be the first item sold. The cost of inventory acquired first, beginning inventory and early purchases, is used to calculate the cost of goods sold for the period. The cost of the most recent purchases is used to calculate ending inventory. FIFO is appropriate for inventory that has a limited shelf life. For example, a food products company will sell its oldest inventory first to keep the inventory on hand fresh. Under the last in, first out, or LIFO method, the last item purchased is assumed to be the first item sold. The cost of inventory most recently purchased is assigned to the cost of goods sold for the period. The costs of beginning inventory and earlier purchases are assigned to ending inventory. LIFO is appropriate for inventory that does not deteriorate with age. For example, a coal distributor will sell coal off the top of the pile. In the United States, LIFO is popular because of its income tax benefits. In an inflationary environment, LIFO results in higher cost of goods sold. Higher cost of goods sold results in lower taxable income and therefore lower income taxes. The weighted average cost method makes no assumption about the physical flow of the inventory. It is popular because of its ease of use. The cost per unit is calculated by dividing cost of available goods by total units available. And this average cost is used to determine both cost of goods sold and ending inventory. Average cost results in cost of goods sold and ending inventory values between those of LIFO and FIFO. FIFO and average cost are permitted under both U.S. GAAP and IFRS. LIFO is allowed under U.S. GAAP, but is prohibited under IFRS. Next, we will discuss depreciation expense recognition. The cost of long-lived assets must also be matched with revenues. Long-lived assets are expected to provide economic benefits beyond one accounting period. The allocation of cost over an asset's life is known as depreciation for tangible assets, depletion for natural resources, or amortization for intangible assets. Most firms use the straight-line depreciation method for financial reporting. The straight-line method recognizes an equal amount of depreciation expense each period. However, most assets generate more benefits in the early years of their economic life and few benefits in the later years. In this case, an accelerated depreciation method is more appropriate for matching the expenses to revenues. In the early years of an asset's life, the straight-line method will result in lower depreciation expense as compared to an accelerated method. Lower expense results in higher net income. In the later years of the asset's life, the effect is reversed, and straight-line depreciation results in higher expense and lower net income compared to accelerated methods. Straight-line depreciation allocates an equal amount of depreciation each year over the asset's useful life. Depreciation expense for each year is calculated by taking the difference between the asset's cost and its salvage value and dividing by its years of useful life. Accelerated depreciation speeds up the recognition of depreciation expense in a systematic way to recognize more depreciation expense in the early years of the asset's life and less depreciation expense in the later years of its life. Total depreciation expense over the life of the asset will be the same as it would be if straight-line depreciation were used. The declining balance method applies a constant rate of depreciation to an asset's declining book value each year. The most common declining balance method is double declining balance, which applies 2 times the straight-line rate to the declining balance. If an asset's life is 10 years, the straight-line rate is 1/10 or 10%, and the double declining balance rate would be 2/10 or 20%. Depreciation expense for each year is calculated by dividing 2 by the asset's useful life and multiplying by its cost less accumulated depreciation. The declining balance method does not explicitly use the asset's salvage value in the calculations, but depreciation ends once the estimated salvage value has been reached. If the asset is expected to have no residual value, the declining balance method will never fully depreciate it, so the method is typically changed to straight line at some point in the asset's life. Amortization is the allocation of the cost of an intangible asset, such as a franchise agreement, over its useful life. Amortization expense should match the proportion of the asset's economic benefits used during the period. Most firms use the straight-line method to calculate annual amortization expense for financial reporting. Straight-line amortization is calculated exactly like straight-line depreciation. Intangible assets with indefinite lives, such as goodwill, are not amortized. However, they must be tested for impairment at least annually. If the asset value is impaired, an expense equal to the impairment amount is recognized on the income statement. If a firm sells goods or services on credit or provides a warranty to the customer, the matching principle requires the firm to estimate bad debt expense or warranty expense. By doing so, the firm is recognizing the expense in the period of the sale rather than a later period. Expense recognition has implications for financial analysis. Like revenue recognition, expense recognition requires a number of estimates. Since estimates are involved, it is possible for firms to delay or accelerate the recognition of expenses. Delayed expense recognition increases current net income and is therefore more aggressive. Analysts must consider the underlying reasons for a change in an expense estimate. If a firm's bad debt expense has recently decreased, did the firm lower its expense estimate because its collection experience improved, or was the expense decreased to manipulate net income? Analysts should also compare a firm's estimates to those of other firms within the firm's industry. If a firm's warranty expense is significantly less than that of a peer firm, is the lower warranty expense a result of higher quality products, or is the firm's expense recognition more aggressive than that of the peer firm? Firms disclose their accounting policies and significant estimates in the financial statement footnotes and in the management discussion and analysis section of the annual report.